Very grateful for each and every one who has come out here today. We have had a great week this past week, and this is quite an undertaking for me to begin a new week, striving to follow in the way that our brother has led us this past week in lessons that we have heard from God's word, and are very encouraging words, and we hope that the lesson you hear today might sink into your deep and honest heart. We might always strive to live a faithful life to the God of heaven. I have entitled my lesson, Lost, Undone, and Unaware. In today's society, the people that we come in contact with, we don't maybe don't talk very much to them, or just like our friends or our neighbors, are madly rushing along towards hell with no one stopping them. That sounds like a harsh statement, that they're going to hell. Maybe we should say that they're going to be eternally lost. It's a little bit more kind than saying you're going to hell. And I'm sure that none of us would say directly to our neighbor's face that you're going to hell. But they're going to hell because of their wickedness, because of their evil and immoral ways, and the type of social activities that they engage in. Most of our neighbors are seeking to be good neighbors, to be kind to you, but then to be fair and honest and trustworthy. And that's the type of neighbors we'd like to have. Some of us who live in the country, our neighbors are farther apart from us than just across the street. But yet, we need to talk to our neighbors about their soul's condition. Their lives are not changed, and they're going to hell because of one thing, that of sin. Your friends and neighbors are like mine and many others, like millions of people here on this earth. All have been guilty of sin, and all are lost. However, while they stand condemned before God, they are totally unaware of their lost condition. And it is up to you and I to show them the way of truth, the way of God, who has directed us through his word. In the sin-sick and dying race, man is stampeding towards hell because of this terrible, deadly disease that we call sin. Turning with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3, and there in verse 10, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a King James Version or a New International Version, most of the things that we say are worded pretty closely together. In Romans chapter 3, and there in verse 10, it speaks that there is none righteous. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, and with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Many of our neighbors and friends are walking their life not having God in their life. And I think it should be up to us to teach them, to encourage them, not just a wave to our neighbor as we greet them from across the street, but reaching out to them and telling them about the God of heaven, about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for them and you and I. For we find in Romans chapter 3 and there in verse 23, says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This mad materialistic world in which we live today neither knows the need nor how to obtain relief from sin's pain and sorrow. We continue to strive for more, striving to gain more, so that we maybe we could live more of our needs, maybe of our means, but we have not put God in our life. Christ provides the remedy of what we need in our life. There's a silver lining of hope in this world for man. You know, when we look up in the sky and we see the clouds, and it kind of covers the sun for a while, and it looks like a shaded area. But behind those clouds is a silver lining, very bright. And yet, we can compare those clouds like the darkness in our life, like it's covering that bright and shining light of what we desire, the God of heaven. In Romans chapter 6, and there in verse 23, we notice here in this scripture, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus died to give man this alternative to live a life that will be acceptable to him. Turn with me also to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, there in verse 15. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, there in verse 15, we should rejoice that Jesus was mindful here of sinners. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." When Jesus stated in his mission, knowing the lost state of mankind, he said there in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke the 19th chapter, and there in verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Have we strived in our everyday life to seek and to save those who may be lost? Are we God's servant? Have we talked to our fellow man? Surely our God does not want any man to be lost, but rather come to repentance, to repent, to make a change in their life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 9, (clears We notice here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and there in verse 9 when he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But how can we lead our friends and neighbors to repent of their sins? How can we talk to them concerning their lost state? Jesus went about preaching repentance. When John the Baptist was preaching there in the wilderness of Judea, he said back there in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and there in verse 2, it says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist had challenged the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the things that they was proclaiming. As we notice in Luke, the 3rd chapter, and there beginning in verse 7, "Then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones.'" John the Baptist had preached in the country about Jordan. He challenged those Pharisees and Sadducees by the word that he was taught. Such preaching prepared the way for ministry of Jesus. When those like John the Baptist went about in preaching God's word. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, and there in verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repentance was both preached and expected of each one, as Jesus had replied in Luke, the 13th chapter, and there in verse 3, when he said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." My point number 3 was repentance was charged to be preached. Turning to Luke, the 24th chapter, in Luke, the 24th chapter, and there in verse 47, we notice here that Jesus told his disciples that repentance should be preached before he departed from this earth. It says, let's begin there in verse 46. "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the 3rd day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Before Jesus departed this earth, he spoke there concerning that of repentance. Those apostles were very conscious of this charge and faithful in that proclamation. In the first sermon that Peter had preached turning to Acts chapter 2 and there in verse 38, he said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When Peter went about preaching that first gospel sermon, many of those who heard Peter said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter proclaimed unto them Jesus, the gospel, and of what they should do in repenting of their sins. Peter also spoke to the Jews a few days later, following his first sermon. But then we also notice the Apostle Paul in Acts, the 17th chapter, and there in verse 30. The Apostle Paul, when he preached there on Mars Hill, there in Athens, he told the people to repent. In Acts 17, and there in verse 30, he said, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Paul well knew that he had to repent, and so must others. Therefore, he preached repentance towards God. He did not leave people alone in their sinfulness, but called on all of them to repent, to make the change in their life. Another point I'd like to express in my lesson here this morning is a separation must be preached. God had never tolerated any addition to his word, making changes to his word. Israel was not to commit spiritual adultery with false religions and strange gods. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the beginning there in verse 14, Paul was writing here specifically of false religions when he said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.'" Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." And that has not changed from the day he said it up until now. One who is out of Christ cannot be in fellowship with those who are within him. Nor are there so-called halfway houses to accommodate the lost. You're either for me or you're against me. They must be brought to repentance in order to receive the blessings that God has to bestow upon you and I. We have this challenge today that the world must be taught. You know, there's more lost souls in the world today than in any time in man's history. Multitudes of millions of people await the gospel that will lead them to their repentance. And yet with this need before us, so many are afflicted with a demon of dumbness. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to act in this world around us. This world has changed very greatly. Back some 40 years ago, or when I was still working, as I came home every evening, there was an elderly lady that lived across the street from us. And she would be sitting out there under her carport, watching me as I came home, and always made an effort to go over and talk to her, whether it's just a few words, but she felt like maybe I was part of her family. She didn't have much family, but she was always there whenever I came home from work. And I felt obligated to go over and to talk to her. But yet today, in our neighborhood, we hardly ever talk to our neighbors. We hardly ever say hi or even make a motion of waving to them. A little over a week ago, as we went about distributing flyers in the neighborhood, this one section of town that I went in to knock on doors, there was approximately 10 houses or 10 homes that had these called rings, these doorbell type rings where it's a little camera, they can see you, but you don't know whether they'll come to the door or not. And it seems like society today has kind of locked the world out. We seem to be afraid of our fellow man. And we don't even take an opportunity to even maybe help those who may be in need. Can we be a servant of God this day? Our times have changed. We don't look upon our neighbors like we used to. Yet with this need before us, so many are afflicted with this demon of dumbness. The early church gave us the example in Acts, the 8th chapter, and there in verse 4, when he said, "Therefore, those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They didn't wait for the apostles or in a hard clergy. They went forth to tell it themselves. With all our improved methods of communications and transportation, we have yet to begin to duplicate what the apostles' faith and zeal had done in their time. We could reach many more people by our means of transportation or by calling them on the phone. But the apostles in that day and time, all they had a means of was walking. Or maybe if they was rich enough, they could have a camel to ride to go to their neighbors, to seek those out in the world. Looks like we could cover more area with what our means we have today. In Romans chapter 10 and there in verse 18, Apostle Paul in writing there to the Roman brethren. Romans chapter 10 and there in verse 18 says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." It seemed that those apostles had reached everyone, though it may have took some time, but they was willing to proclaim God's word. In just that generation alone, saints had carried out that great commission by covering the world with the gospel of Christ. And it is very unlikely, like us today, that we even talk to our neighbor. My next point is, why is repentance not preached? Maybe it is not preached often enough, and the end result is sinful man. It is no wonder that we are having so very few additions when we fail to show men their lost, their undone condition before God. When have you last declared the difference between Jesus Christ and the world to your fellow man? How long has it been since you have drawn the line between the true church of the Lord and those other, we might say, counterfeit religions that curse Christendom? How many sermons being delivered today could be accepted by sectarian bodies? In what area has the church of the Lord done something different to offer in our message? Going back to the Old Testament in Jeremiah the 5th chapter, and we notice there in verse 30, the prophet here declared that their worship was not truth, and it may also be entered into the church today. We find here in Jeremiah the 5th chapter in verse 30 and 31, "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?" Many are living today seem to be satisfied with what they have, with how they worship their God. But have we actually drawn the line between truth and falsehood? Each of us, all saints, need to be an evangelist. Timothy was Paul's beloved son in the gospel and a close personal friend. And when Paul had wrote his farewell to Timothy, he gave a charge to Timothy as we turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and there in verse 2, this charge that the Apostle Paul gave young Timothy, he said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Paul encouraged young Timothy to go out and to preach preach this word to this lost and dying world. Going back to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and there in verse 16, we notice here in the Apostles Paul's writing there to the Corinthian brethren. He said, "For I preached the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." It was this burden that fell on Paul's heart. If every saint today had the zeal to speak of their salvation to your fellow man, to tell the story of Christ, we could live in a more loving and caring world. But yet we seem to hold this to ourselves. We don't share the gospel of Christ with our friends and our neighbors. My friend, don't expect your friends and neighbors to be led to repentance until you yourself earnestly sought to tell them of the Lord. Don't try to use a preacher's language in talking with them. In your own way, in your own words, tell them what you have believed and obeyed, and let them read it from their own Bible as you teach them, as you encourage them. Every disciple can be an effective evangelist by simply having a love for lost souls and then diligently trying to teach them. What about your friends and your neighbors? What efforts have you made to teach them about their God of heaven or their soul's condition? We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened that this word is our only hope of an eternal life in heaven. We need to follow it. We need it to be our guide, to direct us in our everyday walks of life. Not knowing the minds of those present here this morning, we realize that we are in a state where maybe our life is not quite right. We need to make a change in our life. We need to strive to live a life of a faithful Christian, to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, to put on Christ, and to strive from this day to live faithfully. This lesson also should be an encouragement to us that we might go out and teach or tell our neighbors about that of Jesus Christ. We like to have a friendly neighborhood and not one that hides behind the door, but to share the life that we live with those round about us. If we can help you in your decision to live a life that be acceptable unto God, it is Jesus Christ who died for you, who gave his life for you. He's only asking that you will serve him what remaining days we have here upon this earth. we can help you or assist you in any way, we encourage you to come, or together we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come for me, loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come for me, blessed for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the Christ.